Day, isn't it? Oh, that was weak. Come on now. I just said it's a good day, isn't it? Woo! All right. We get to keep moving into this series called Kingdom Prayer, and we're talking about this right here, this picture, this the crown of the kingdom of heaven, and us praying to him and him sending his response and working in our lives as we pray. And we're going through the Lord's Prayer, which is deep. Like, it's not just a liturgical kind of traditional, let's read this prayer kind of thing. And so we're learning what Jesus was saying when he said, this is how to pray, okay? We're not talking about a prescription, like pray these words every time. It's not like this magic prayer where it's boom, you know, things go your way. We're talking about prayer as in a way to pray, like the depths of what God is saying or Jesus was saying when he said, pray like this, okay? So that's what we're digging into in this series. And I remember a couple of weeks ago as I started this series, I talked about shifting. Remember learning about how to drive a 5-speed? You guys remember that? And the tricks that have to come along with learning a manual transmission, and first gear is fine, and you can drive from here to California in first gear in your car. It's just going to take you a while, right? And we were talking about in our prayer life, some of us have been stuck in first gear in prayer, right? It's been like, okay, I just know this one thing. And we're talking about shifting into a new gear, a higher gear, a gear of prayer, and going deeper into what prayer means. Last week, man, Nikki did an awesome job last Sunday, didn't she? And she brought the word of woe, right? Hallowed be your name. This whole idea of woe, being like in awe in God's presence, that he is holy, other, he's set apart, there's none like him. And when you understand that when you pray, you're getting into that glory and righteousness and that holiness, there is a sense of woe-ness in his presence. And that's where the prayer started in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name, God. Okay, and this week we're going to keep moving on in the verses. Now, if you didn't know this, during this series we're providing a devotional, just one devotional for the week, and our small group sheets, which we always do. And so if you want to grow and just have some more resources, we do have those on the table on the other side of the wall. You can grab a devotional for the week, or you can use your app. It's all on the app under small group studies. You can see the small group study and the devotional there. Or those of you online, you can go to our website, mynewhope.tv/kingdomprayer. Has all the resources for the series and all the sermons. And we just want to help you grow deeper, all right, in what we're talking about this morning. And so we're learning how to pray, not what to pray, okay? All right, so this is what we're going to do. We said we're going to start this way every single part of this series, that we're going to read the Lord's Prayer out loud together, okay? So everybody, all your vocal cords are ready, all right? We need some lip buzzes. All right, everybody ready? If you didn't take choir, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But all right, so let's read the Lord's Prayer together. Here we go. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the Lord's Prayer, right? And we're doing it verse by verse to go deeper into understanding what was Jesus talking about in this prayer. What was he getting us into as we talked about this? So let me set up the conversation today a little bit. Do we have anybody in the room, just a show of hands, who love kind of like action movies? Okay. Do we have anybody who likes movies like The Lord of the Rings? We got any Lord of the Rings lovers, right? Or Star Wars? We got any Star Wars? Okay. Anybody in here like, we're kind of getting into this season, anybody like The Grinch, This Whole Christmas? Like, okay, now this is, we can get an argument, the cartoon or the real one or the new cartoon, right? It's like all these options. I don't know which one you like best. But the thing is, with all of these movies, there's a theme that goes through all of them. There's always this challenge and this battle between good and evil, right? There's a light thing and a dark thing, and they're going at each other. And I think it's interesting, so many movies have the same plot. They have the same tension, and there's a reason why that tension exists. It's because it's written on the hearts of mankind, that it is actually God's story in this earth. And in that story written, even those that don't know God know that story, that there is a battle going on, that there is this tension between what is good and right and true, and what is like evil and wrong and selfish, and in that battle becomes a great movie, basically, right? And at the end, we all hope, who wins? Good, right? If the bad wins, either that's a bad movie, they're not going to make a lot of money, or it's going to reach the people who are weird, right? It's the ones that are like, I love the bad person, and I love that they win at the end. Like there's something in us. We want good to win, right? We want the good to win at the end. You see, the battle that we really struggle with in our life isn't necessarily like, you know, like we're Luke and you know, the emperor. You know, it's not that kind of thing. Most of the battles that we face in our personal lives are more like a battle between a mediocre life and a great life, right? It's the battle between the temporary or the eternal. That's the kind of kingdom conversation we're going to have today. That battle and that struggle between what is earthly, this kingdom that we live in, and what is eternal, what is going to last forever? What are you investing in that will have a forever state with it, you know? This battle that we experience between mediocre or greatness, temporary versus eternal, one, we choose mediocrity. Maybe we live unintentional. Our lives are unfulfilling. It's kind of things just get mundane. It's just the same thing every day, right? That's one way to live, but it's not really a life. Where we are talking about in this passage in just a moment, how to live intentional, how to live purposeful, how to live fulfilled, how to make a difference. See, here's my first point. You can write this down. There are two kingdoms that we can choose to live for, either earthly or eternal, right? There's two kingdoms at play in the world we live in. It's not a movie. If it is a movie, you're in it, all right? And we're all playing parts in this greater movie called life that God has put us in this earth. And these two kingdoms that are battling one another that we can choose to live for are earthly. It's just the stuff of this world. It's life, money, success, it's relationships, it's stuff, or it can be eternal, which is people, right? Which is God and what he has in heaven. These are the two kingdoms that are at battle between one another. And today we're going to be shifting gears into a higher level, and we're going to be shifting our spot on this earth, okay? That's the whole point of the prayer that we're going to get into today. Now, I let you guys know at the beginning of the series that we're grateful that we've been able to use a lot of the stuff that we're using in the series from a pastor called Pastor Louis Giglio. He's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia at Passion City Church, and he did a series years and years ago called Shift, and he taught on the Lord's Prayer. And so I always give credit where credit's due. We're grateful for the things that we've been able to use as we prepare for these messages to dig into this. And today, let's shift our spot on earth. See, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, right before it, we see Jesus talking about the hypocrites, right? And this is what he said here in this passage in verse 5. He said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." Now, hypocrites are people who say one thing, but their hearts are actually in a different place. This is called a kingdom divided heart. Somebody who says they live for the kingdom of heaven, but really they're actually just trying to get from the earth. He says, "These hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." They're there so that they can look religious. They can look better than the rest of the masses around them and seem holier than everybody else. And this is what he says, "Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Why? Because they were looking for earthly reward. They got earthly reward. They were living in the earthly kingdom. They chose the wrong kingdom, even in their religion, even in their prayer life. Did you know that you can be a Christian and living in the wrong kingdom? It's actually really easy to do, especially in America. Like, it's so easy to do, to get caught up in the things of life, to get caught up in the busy and hustle and bustle, to get caught up in the things that we think bring security but actually don't in the end. They're temporary. And so these religious leaders or those religious people thought they were doing all the right things, but their eyes were in the wrong place. They were in this kingdom, and they already got their reward. And I'm telling you, that reward was temporary. It was temporary. So then he goes down into verse 10, and he's saying, and this is how you should pray. I mean, those of us who called Jesus Lord, those of us who want to live for the kingdom of heaven, he says, this is how you should pray. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? Our heavenly Father's, right? Because that's the first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, set apart holy. You are other than your kingdom, heavenly Father. Come, bring it here. We want to see your kingdom show up in this mess that we live in. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, you have a will, you have a purpose. Now, some of us in this season that we're in the world, we're like, what is it, right? We're wondering, and we have questions like, why is this happening? Or why are people dying from a pandemic? Or why is this happening politically? Or why is there injustice? Or why? I can tell you why. It's because most of the people aren't living for the right kingdom. If we pray and we live out, your will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven, earth will start to look different because heaven now has come down. Right? This is a powerful prayer. And I don't know if you guys, if you've been around New Hope a while, you've heard me kind of say something like this a lot, right? Can I get a nod of the heads? Like you heard me say, yeah, I pray it a lot. I say, God, send us out from here so that we can bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. Send us out, right? That's a lot of my prayers at the end of the gatherings because I believe that is the Lord's prayer. That's the Lord's will for us as Christ followers is to live this out, to do it, right? That we can be praying God's kingdom, his holiness, his righteousness, his perfection, everything that he is, we can be praying, God, bring that here now in this brokenness that we live in this community, in this city, in this state, in this country, all around the world, God, let your will be done. See, that's the first shift in the prayer, okay? Write this down. The first shift for us is shifting from my will to your will, God. That's shift number one this morning. We're shifting from my will to your will. I love last week how many times Nikki said, when we come to Jesus, or when we come to our Heavenly Father and we pray, it shouldn't be like, bam, 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 this is what I want, right? She kept saying that. I loved it. She's like, bam, 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 because that's what so often what we do. Like, we want our will. It's like, I want something, you know? I want something to happen. I want something to move. Now, there's nothing wrong with want, okay? I want you to say that loud and clear. There's nothing wrong with wanting something, okay? And God says, send me your request. I would love to hear what you would want. But if our position is only and is primarily in prayer, bam, 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 this is what I want. Now he's the genie in the lamp that we're trying to get what we want. And we're saying, God, this is my will. This is my will. Give me my will. It's like, no, 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 no. Shift number one is us stop focusing on what we want, we want, we want, we want, to saying, no, your will, your will, your will, God. Prayer isn't us getting God what we, or getting God to give us what we want. Prayer is us figuring out what God wants in our life to begin with. It's understanding what he wants from his kingdom in my life so then I can live it out in this earth. Your will be done. Give it to me. Help me understand your will, God. Help me see what you want me to do today. How do you want me to bring your kingdom here, God? Not my will, but your will. Your kingdom, not my kingdom. My kingdom's going to fade, and I'm okay with that. Like, if I walked up the stage and none of you saw Tim again, that would be okay. If that's what God would want, it's his kingdom, it's not mine. We shift our perspective when we start to pray the way Jesus said to pray. It starts with God's holiness, and then it moves to, not me, but you, God. Whoa. What do you have? How do you want to move in my life? What picture do you have? I'm going to get deeper into some stuff here in just a moment, okay? Actually, this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. This is a challenging, 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 challenging passage. This pushes against cultural Christianity really hard. Actually, it pushes against our comfort really hard as Christians. Because he says this, then he said to them all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus said this. Like, he's like, you want to be with me? Pick up your cross, whatever that is, and follow me daily. Daily, it's your will, God, not mine. Daily, it's
pushing against our own selfish life, the temporary things that we live for and live in today. Deny ourselves, take up their cross. For whoever wants to save their own, or save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Let's keep reading. Verse 25, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Another version says their very soul. It's like, would you sell your soul for things that don't last or matter, right? That's what he's saying. What good is that to sell your soul, to sell your life for things that really have no eternal value? It says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father, Heavenly Father, of the holy angels. Again, that's the picture of God's holiness right there. It's like when he shows back up, what's going to be in your life? This is what Jesus calls and challenges us to as Christians, to follow him. And when we think about verses like this, it sounds like that's a pretty big demand there, Tim. Like, you sure Jesus said that? I'm like, yeah, he said that. Yeah, that's in there. Sometimes we read in the scriptures things that we don't want to read, right? Sometimes you're reading scriptures, it's like, ooh, that one, ouch. Can I skip over that one? It's like, not really. It's in there. It's Jesus speaking too. This is red letter stuff. You know, Jesus said this, and so we need to give it weight. And so we think, well, I have to give up all the good stuff, so that means my life needs to suck on earth so I can be a disciple for him. And that's what some people hear, and they say, well, that's not worth it. I like my comforts. I like this. I like that. See, we think the exchange is an uneven exchange, and the thing is we're looking at it wrong. See, when we see the exchange, it's actually all of our sin and brokenness and selfishness and anxiety and worry. He says, cast those on him because he is strong enough to carry them. We think the exchange is I have to get rid of all the good and I have to just live a crappy life to be a disciple of Jesus. It's like, no. He's saying, no, give all the crap away and now live life with me and give me your life and trust me, your life is going to be better. Your life is going to be more fulfilling. Your life is going to be more purposeful. Your life is going to be less anxiety, less worry. Because that's what he gives you. That's a pretty darn good exchange, in my opinion. All my sin for his righteousness. That's the gospel, right? So when we hear a passage like this where he says, set yourself aside, carry your cross, follow me, that is a call to a better life. A life that is about me is a lesser life. And I will experience lesser things. It's a lower level of living. When we learn and understand that it all starts with God and we're living a kingdom life, we now get the benefit of kingdom promises. We get the benefit of eternal kingdom with him forever. That's a better life. Are you all with me? Okay, just want to be sure. We're all in this together, okay? That's the challenge that he's calling us to. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, in my life. Make that happen. Your will, God, not my will. Not bam, 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 here's what I want. It's like, God, no, what do you want? How do you want to move? How can I experience heaven more today, and how can I bring heaven more today? That's a good prayer, isn't it? Because if you live for just this world, I have bad news for you. This world we live in, it's going to blow up. The earth is dying and will have an end. All right? Everybody write that one down. We excited about that one. The earth is dying and will have an end. Okay? This earth is temporary. And I know there's people who, like, want to take care of the earth, and I'm all for good stewardship of what God's given us, right? Like God tells us to steward the resources, steward the planet, steward what you have, like be a wise steward, take care of what he has put in your life. So I would say yes, take care of the planet. But some people want to take care of the planet so much they actually forget that humans live on it, right? It's more about let's save the whales, kill the people, you know, kind of a thing. I'm like, well, I don't understand. So you're going to save whales but kill babies? I'm confused about this. How does this work? right? Like when we think about this world, yes, be good stewards, but this world is temporary. It is going to disappear one day. It will no longer exist. Actually, it tells us in 2 Peter, we see in the end of all things what Christ or what God is going to do and what Jesus is going to do when he shows back up. In this passage, it starts with that view of Jesus returning, okay? And people are mocking the Christians in this time in Scripture. They're mocking them because they're like, oh, when is he coming back? He hasn't come back since I've been around. He didn't come back when my parents were around. And so they're mocking the Christians. And this passage from 2 Peter is this encouragement, like, we don't know the time. I can't tell you. It's like, well, next Thursday at 3 p.m., Jesus is coming back, right? And people have tried to do that, and they've sold books and made a lot of money off of things like that. And it's like, it's all fear to make money. There's profit attached to it a lot of times, okay? Just save yourself the money and just live for God's kingdom and let him be the one that decides when he wants to come back, okay? So in this passage, though, we see a very clear picture of what's going to happen. In 2 Peter, let's start in verse 8 of chapter 3. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Meaning, our watches don't work on God's time. That's what they're saying. Like, God will do what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. And then he says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's talking about the promise to return, the promise to bring heaven, right? As some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's a good verse. Like, Jesus is waiting so more people can experience salvation. I prefer a God who has that kind of patience than the God that's just saying, they're all screwed up, let's blow this thing up, right? Like, that's not what he's doing. He's saying, I want as many people to come to repentance, to hear my story, the gospel, the work, and why I love them, and why I want to be with them. He wants more of that. Let's keep going. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. He's saying, this, what we have and live in, will disappear. By his word, he created it. By his word, he will end it. That's the power and wonder and awe of God. And yet he doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's patiently waiting so that as many as possible can come to repentance and to be with him forever. It'll all be destroyed. So how ought we to live, Christians? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is good news, y'all. Like, like this broken planet we're spinning on is going to be destroyed and made perfect. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that we will all, as Christ followers, get to live in God's glory and presence forever in righteousness. Woo! Come, Lord, come. Bring the day. But God, help me be a part of bringing more to that day in righteousness. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to understand this battle between these two kingdoms in our own heart. One is earthly, one is eternal. Which one are you truly living for? Right? Where is your allegiance in your life? Now, this is a convicting question for all of us. I'm pointing at Tim right now, too, okay? Like, this is all of us struggle with this tension of, like, but I live here now, and there's things I like here now, and there's things I want to see happen here now. He says, good, pray. But also be praying that it's my kingdom work that's being done in your life, because that's better. That's better than an Aston Martin Vantage. That's Tim's dream. That's, see, he's saying, stop talking about that, Tim. That's what he's saying. That's like, all right, Tim's will, something I want, you know, something that'd be fun someday. It's like, but that's so temporary. It's going to rust, it's going to break, and trust me, when things get burned up, the Aston Martins are disappearing. I don't know what I'm going to drive in the new earth, but it's going to be even better, right? And so we struggle with that tension, and this message and the prayer is the reminder every day, God, your will, not mine. Not bam, 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 but God, here I am. That was good. Write that one down. That one rhymed. Not bam, 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 but here I am. Right? Should have been a fill in the blank. The earth is dying. It will have an end. God's kingdom will never end. Will never end. And so the question then, this is where I want to spend most of my time this morning, is how are you occupying your space on this earth while you're here? Right? We are called to occupy our space with God's kingdom. Where we are should look more like God's kingdom wherever we are as Christians, right? We are called to occupy our space with God's kingdom. Your will be done, God. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are the representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are the ones that become the answer to the prayer that we're praying. God, let me be a part of your kingdom coming on this earth. Let your will be done in my life so I can look like heaven at my workplace, so I can look like heaven at my school, so I can look like heaven with my family, so I can look like heaven with my friends. I can look like heaven wherever I go. When people see me, they see a part of heaven. And when we occupy our space, that's what we're doing, right? It is not my job to come to your workplace and preach to them. That would be weird, right? It's like, I invited my pastor. He's going to preach to us during lunch. Everybody come on in. Like, No. Everybody say, no, thank you. That's weird. You are the preacher to your coworkers. And whether that's in a word or whether that's in an example or whether that's in you're different because you look like the kingdom of heaven when all everybody else isn't, but they're curious, that's occupying your space as a kingdom heaven representative, right? I'm wondering how many of you, when you're going to work, do you pray by name every single person that you work with each day? I promise you, if you start doing that and start praying, God, your will be done for this person and this person and this person, you're going to start to see the kingdom of heaven start showing up in work in ways that you didn't think it would ever show up. And when you say to them, hey, just so you know, I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can be praying for? And now, if they're resisting and they're yelling at you, like, don't you pray for me? Be like, okay. But I haven't ran into a lot of people that, like, yell at you when you say I'm praying for you. Most people say, oh, man, my mom is sick right now. They will tell you, here's what's going on in my life. And now you start to represent them to the kingdom of heaven, right? People see you differently. When you pray like that, when you think like that, when you occupy your space as a kingdom representative and you start thinking like the heavenly kingdom where you are at school, maybe some of you, where you are with your family, do you pray for your family members every day, right? Like get real close to home here. Do you pray for your neighbors? Do you occupy your space as a representative of the kingdom of heaven? Now, here's the tension, though. We always occupy our space with whatever occupies us, right? Like if the night before your favorite team played and they won, the next day that which occupied you will now occupy your office because now you're talking about my team won, woo! And then some of you are like, you know sports, like I don't know sports, okay? I'm into racing cars and nobody else is for some reason. I'm just this weird guy. And so like for you, like you know all the stats on all the players on all your team, which blows my mind because like some of you, like you barely graduated high school and you don't know math, but man, you can remember scores like nothing. And you can say, oh, in 1982 when no one played and done, yeah, he had like 450 yards and da da da. I'm like, you know, like my brain. And so you've occupied yourself with something that then whenever you show up and that is there, that occupies your space because it has occupied you, right? I'm just using sports as an example. There's nothing wrong with sports. You can enjoy sports, okay? Don't write me an email. But like whatever that is, right? Whatever occupies us, if worry occupies us, it will occupy our space. And when people are around you, they're going to feel your worry. If anxiety occupies a space in your life, when you're in situations, they're going to feel it, and it's going to occupy them, right? So whatever occupies you is going to occupy your space. I'm wondering if the kingdom of heaven occupies you so much that it is now occupying your space everywhere you go. Or are you letting this world, the temporary, this kingdom that we live on, being the thing that occupies you? When Christ takes up his place in our lives, we start to take Christ's place in our space. He comes with us, right? That's what we're called to do, to bring Christ into our space. I've seen God do the miraculous when I've practiced this one. When I first started ministry, Nikki and I worked together. We didn't have kids yet. We were like in our early 20s, and so we were doing young adult and college ministry here in Worcester. And we just had a growing ministry. It was awesome what God was doing. We're seeing like all sorts of college students. I don't know how many, probably 70, 100 like young adults that would meet every Thursday and worship at the church we were at, and it's like, what the heck is going on here? And it just kept growing, and we started building relationships at the ATI, at the College of Worcester. And I don't know if you know a lot about the College of Worcester. It's a pretty closed off college. You know, it's like in our community, but it's kind of like its own community. And we started to prayer walk on the campus every single week. We just go around and we pray, God, let us reach the students on this campus. And slowly we had some students start showing up. And they started showing up on Thursdays with us and started worshiping with us and started building a relationship. We just kept prayer walking around the campus. And we saw walls tear down that I don't know if they've ever been torn down like this ever again since then. This is probably 20-something years ago now. To the point where the college let us do a open-air worship concert on campus while like a track meet was going down on the fields and they were practicing, and we're like on this back pavilion kind of patio place and we're doing full-blown worship outside, just blaring it. It's like, we never thought this would ever happen on this campus, and students are just starting to show up as we're worshiping. Now, it gets even crazier because the next year, we wanted to do a bigger event on the College of Worcester campus. I don't know if you've ever been to McGaw Chapel. It's a big place, the giant organ, right? There's all these organ, all these pipes all over the place and all this stuff. And we're praying, God, help us occupy this space for you. Help us do something that we've seen never happen here. And we did a full-blown worship concert and teaching in McGaw Chapel with, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of students showing up. They let us do it. I don't know why. Because nobody else had done it. Nobody else had gotten in there. Nobody else had done a ministry like this on that campus. And here we are singing at the top of our lungs. It was awesome. Like, we didn't use the pipe organ. That would have been really cool. Because, you know. But we had our full worship team and our band. And then I brought a message and a talk. And God was moving. Because we prayed, God, occupy this space. I don't know if anything's ever happened like that again on that campus. Somebody probably needs to have a passion to make that happen again. But when we decided, God, we want you to occupy a space that we don't know how in the world it would happen, God started his work behind the scenes. I'm wondering for you, where does God want you to occupy his space on this earth? How does he want you to pray in a way that makes no sense, but he can't wait to work? He can't wait to get to work. He's just waiting for you to start praying, God, your will in my life. Let me be that representative, wherever that is. And start to see him do what he wants to do. When you start occupying your space as the kingdom of heaven, there's something that starts showing up in that space. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23, we see this list that as Christians that should be coming out of our lives, right? How do you know that God's at work? You see this stuff happening, okay? When you see the Holy Spirit working in your life and you look more and more like the kingdom of heaven, you start to see love. And people start seeing you as a person who loves people. You start to see joy show up and peace in ways that make no sense, even in chaos. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Patience. Who needs a little more patience? Right? The Holy Spirit can give you patience in the midst of a troubling relationship at work or school, wherever, or at home, right? Like kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you start occupying the space for the kingdom of heaven, this is what it starts to look like. Who wants to work there? Right? Who wants to live in that home? Who wants to have friendships like that? Like, we all, this is what we want. And God's saying, well, start asking the kingdom of heaven because this is what it looks like. Start praying, God, your will be done, and this is what will start to get done. When you start to occupy your space as God calls you to, okay? All right, is everybody with me? Yep. Now, here's the amazing thing. He says to talk to him. God says, talk to me. I'm here. I'm present. I said earlier, I like cars, right? I like racing cars. And a couple of years ago, Sam, my buddy Sam and I, his name's not Sam and I, Sam and myself, all right? We got these. This is a season pass holder for Mid-Ohio Raceway. And this is really cool to have, okay? Like, you can go to a race at Mid-Ohio and just buy a ticket or a general admission ticket, and when you go to the track, you can just watch the cars go around the track, and that's it. You get to sit in the infield or sit in the grass, or you don't even have a bleacher at that point. You're just finding a spot where somebody else isn't, and you're watching these cars, you know, go by, and that's all you get if you just have a general admission ticket. Well, when you have one of these, you can get a lot of places. It is so cool. I don't know if you've ever been at a venue where, like, you have a special badge and you have access to things other people don't have. You just feel a little more important, right? You feel like, yeah, I can get in here. Like this right here, this pass, when we wear it, we can get into the what's called the paddocks, okay? If you don't know what a paddock is, that's where all the cars get worked on, okay? So they are out racing, and then they bring the cars back in, and they have these giant trailers, and then they pull the cars up into these garages. And with this, we can just walk right in there. And here's the pit crew, like here's the racers, and here's the car, and I'm touching it, you know. It's right there. And if the drivers come around, you can say, hey, what's going on? And have conversations with them. Now, the more popular they are, the less they're going to be hanging around the car at that time, but I've been able to meet some people and have some conversations. Actually, one of our favorite drivers is Joseph Newgarden, who's an IndyCar racer, okay? He was like second in place in the championship. It was so close. Last 2 years, he was the champion. And last 2 years, we've been able to go. And I know their pit crew. Like, we know a couple of their guys. And every time we see them, we're like, hey, what's going on? We have a conversation. How'd it go last year? And this and this and this. And, like, I got to get the inside scoop because I have the pass, right? And here's something that's cool, too, that you can do. It's funny, when you have a badge and then you walk as if you're supposed to be there, you can get to other places too, right? There was at one point, I wasn't there when this happened. Sam had his on and his dad was with him, and it was a NASCAR Infinity race, right? And so, any guy of NASCAR fans? I don't know, NASCAR is a whole other beast, okay? So like they go out and they actually go out to where, just the pit, but they're out on the pit lane, like where they're lined up ready to race, and the families are the only ones out there with them, giving them the kisses and hugs and stuff, and he and his dad just, and they're walking with like I'm Uncle Phil of, you know, like, or whatever. It's like, just walk with confidence. Now here's the thing for us when we're talking about prayer. You've been given an all access pass to the kingdom of heaven that you can boldly and confidently go to his throne room. You don't even need a badge. You've got Jesus, right? You've got the co-owner of heaven. And he's saying, oh, yeah, they're mine. Come on in. And when we pray and we say, God, thank you for letting me, be in your holiness and in your presence. Now that I'm here, God, I understand that my will is so small. And with this pass, I'm asking God, let your will be done. What do you want in my life? How do you want me to look more like this? How do you want me to bring your kingdom to this earth? When we start living with our path to heaven like that, God will start showing up and moving in your life. God, thank you for giving us your word. It's true. It's right. It doesn't waste anything. Your word and your scriptures God, help us know how to live. It's your love letter to us. It's you explaining us what your kingdom looks like and how we can live in it. And God, I just pray that in this season, as we're digging into the Lord's Prayer, that we would, oh, so humbly come before you. We would be in awe of you. And that we would start to shift gears and not pray, my will, my will, my will. But God, we would start be praying, your will be done, God, in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, God, in my life. I just have a couple words of challenge as we wrap this up this morning. The first one is this, and I would challenge you to do this week. Start praying by name for the people you're going to see that day. Start your day and think, who am I going to see today? And pray for them by name. And just say, God, help me to be your kingdom to that person today. And start seeing what God does. He might just start showing off and saying, awesome, I've been waiting for somebody in that person's life that says, I will do what you want, God. And you might start to see him open things up in you in a way that you'd never seen before. So pray for them by name and then look for kingdom opportunities. Look for moments to bring God's kingdom here. It could be in small ways. It could be in big ways. It doesn't matter in what way. Just look for them and then do something to do them. We're asking people during the series, if you want to take your prayer to another level and pray for others, join our prayer team here at New Hope. Sign up. And Nikki is in charge of that team. And as that team continues to grow, it's awesome. They pray over every seat in this room. You've already been prayed over this morning. And they pray for the requests that people pray and give to us each week. And they lift those up. And they are interceding and praying, God, let your kingdom come in all of our lives. If you want to be part of that team, sign up on your Connect card. Mark that, I want to be on the prayer team. And give it a shot. Don't be intimidated. And see how God might use you. I would encourage you to do the devotional this week, you know, spend that time, or join a small group if you're not in a small group. If you are in a small group, really engage in the conversation and see what God might want to do in your life. So that's my challenge to you this morning, that you might let his will be done in your life. And so God, thank you for this word this morning. Encourage us to look more like you. Encourage us to live more into the right kingdom, not this temporary one. And God, I am praying that you would speed the day of your return. I'm grateful that you are being patient and waiting right now, though. I pray for more people to turn and repent and accept you as their Savior and walk in relationship with you, and knowing that all they have to do is ask for it. They just need to pray. They just need to say, God, I need Jesus. I confess he's your son. I want him to be my Savior. And they just need to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, and they can be saved. So God, I pray that you would lead people into that, to have a relationship with you. God, again, thank you for this morning. And it's in Christ that we pray. Everybody said amen? Amen. Awesome. Dom's